Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 187, Christ is Risen. Guest minister Ellie Frauhiger delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on Resurrection Day, April 4th, 2021.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glorious Resurrection Day to you all.
Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Resurrection Sunday. I am so excited this morning. I'm just like, try not to jump because I want to make sure this mic stays on. I'm trying to compose myself here. Good morning to all of you on YouTube and Facebook. Welcome this morning. We are so glad that you can join us this glorious morning. Thank you for being here. God bless you all. And those of you that will be listening later on to the podcast, happy Resurrection Sunday. I am here this morning to tell you that He is risen.
Amen.
Amen. He is risen indeed.
Yes,
yes, He is risen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. I am so excited to share this word with you. Resurrection Sunday is the greatest event in history. Amen. It's such a significant expression of the power of God on behalf of us believers.
Amen.
Amen. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus conquered death at the cross. Amen. And He paid for our sins in full, like completely. When you go to a restaurant and you take the bill up, it's paid in full, right? And that's what Jesus did for us as we, came and sinned. So He took away every single sin we saw on these videos, the touching worship videos we saw. I mean, they were amazing, right? So He paid in full so we could have eternal life.
Amen.
Me and you and everyone else in our families,
yes.
Right? He died for each and every one of them. Amen.
Romans
10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So thank you, Father. And this morning, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. So try to find that chapter for me here. Chapter 20, verse 1. And we are going to go over the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son, Jesus, your only begotten Son, to die at the cross at Calvary for my sin and everyone else's sin. Thank you for Resurrection Day. For Resurrection Sunday. Father God, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive your word this morning. Holy Spirit, you are present in here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Let every word that comes out of my lips be all you, Father. All of you and none of me this morning and every day. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. So go with me to John 20. All the four Gospels have the story of the resurrection story. So go with me. John 20. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and came to the tomb. Outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, and he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw the two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him. You have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to the God and to your and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful story of resurrection. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful story. Let's take a look. Let's take a closer look, shall we, to John chapter 20. Verse 1. Now the first day of the week. So in the Jewish culture, they number their days, right? They didn't have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth. They number them, right? And the Sabbath was the seventh day. So the first day after the Sabbath is Sunday. It was Sunday then, and it is Sunday now. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. Mary Magdalene, we can put maybe the next picture up there. Yeah. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. I want us to take a look at Mary Magdalene for a little bit. There's a lot of Marys mentioned in the Bible, so I want us to get a closer look at Mary Magdalene. Yes, she was from the city of Magdala on the Sea of Galilee. In the Gospel of Mark and Luke, it tells us that Jesus cast out 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. I don't know about you, but I know that Jesus delivered me. I didn't count the demons, but there were many. So I can identify with Mary. I can identify with her position here, right? She received her deliverance and began to travel with Jesus and his disciples. So she was close to Jesus, right? She was close to the disciples, and she was part of their traveling. She was a witness at his crucifixion. He was there when they crucified Jesus, and at his burial. And now a witness at the empty tomb. Later in the story, she will also be the first one to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection, of our Lord and Savior. Now, Mary is a woman, right? And, back then, women had low standing in that culture. right? And Jesus decides to first appear to Mary Magdalene, right? And she's a woman. And you think, well, what's the big deal, Ellie? It is a huge deal. A woman back then, her testimony was not admissible in the court of law. Yet Jesus appears to Mary first. Interesting. Amen. Then later on, he commissions her to go and tell the disciples the good news that he has raised from the dead. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that Jesus would choose this woman, Mary Magdalene, that out of seven demons were cast, Jesus cast seven demons out of her. And yet he found her worthy, worthy to go and tell the news of our resurrected Lord and Savior. Amen. They say that the tomb, the Jesus tomb, is located about 90 meters northwest of Golgotha. I hope I said that right. So now you know where Jesus' tomb is. Amen. Next picture, please. So here we have, right, the empty tomb. Now, it says that it was still dark. And then she saw that the stone had been removed. So here we have a picture for some of the kiddos here to get a picture, a visual of the empty tomb. Amen. It says that it was still dark. So the stone had been removed, not so that Jesus could get out, right? It was removed so that the witnesses could come in and witness the empty tomb. Amen. Jesus doesn't need anybody moving that stone, right? He can go through the tomb and everything else. Glory be to God. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the stone. They would make a trench, as you see here in the picture, in front of the tomb, and then they will roll this huge stone, you know, roughly between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. That's a huge stone, you guys, if you really think about being 2,000 pounds, you know. It's a big stone, and they rolled it, and it took like several, you know, strong men to literally move the stone in front of the tomb. Amen. And so, along with the big stone, we can go to the next picture. Then, right? Not only did they roll a heavy stone in front of the tomb. You know, the religious leaders, they said, oh, we need guards, right? We want to make sure that the disciples don't come in and steal the body of Jesus and then create some story that he has risen. So let's make sure we have Roman guards at the tomb, right? In the story of Matthew, if you go with me, Matthew 27:62, it talks about the guards. So we're going to go there. And take a look at the guards that they were assigned to guard Jesus. So Matthew 27:62, and it says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive, now that deceiver, so here they're calling Jesus a deceiver, said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guards. So now they have the heavy stone and these big guards to make sure that Jesus doesn't go anywhere, right? We jump to verse 11, and it says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. So the guards run to the chief priest like, hey, let's see what happened, right? Okay, so let me go back a little bit. Let's go to 2. Yeah, I kind of jumped a little bit. So let's go to 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So here comes an earthquake, right? And the guards, we're scared. What's going on here, right? An angel appears and rolls away the stone. And now they go, verse 11, you know, and tell the city chief and report that all things that they have happened. When they have assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large amount of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying, and this is a saying commonly in the Jews until this day. So try to understand the story here. They go to the chief priest and they say, this is what happened, you know, an angel appeared, rolled away the stone. But the chief priest tells them, shh, don't say that. Tell the people that disciples came in and stole his body while they were asleep. Well, hello, if they were asleep, how could they tell that the disciples stole him? What a crazy story, right? It doesn't even make sense. Like, yeah, so we were sleeping and then they came in. It doesn't even add up, right? So they paid them some money, the guards some money, and then they said, and if Pontius Pilate questions it, don't worry, we got him covered, right? Just like they had him covered when they were going to crucify Jesus, right? Because Pontius Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. But, you know, the religious leaders, the chief priests, you know, made sure that this was carried on with the crucifixion. So they had some pull, right, with Pontius Pilate, and this is what they're saying, you know, make the story that the disciples came to get him. Amen. So now we know we got these guards. There's some, like, pretty tough guards, right? It doesn't say how many, but I would figure maybe at least, you know, three or half a dozen, somewhere around those pictures. Okay, so let's go back to our story. I'm going to be going back or forth a little bit through the other gospels so we can get a clear picture of what happened in this resurrection morning. Okay, well, we're just on the second verse. Help me, Jesus. Okay. How long do I have? We all need to get to our families, right? Okay, so verse 2. Then she ran and came to Peter, to Simon Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. So get next picture up here. So here's Mary, right? She comes to the tomb and realizes that Jesus is gone, right? And to her surprise, do you think that she's thinking Jesus has resurrected? Mm-mm. She's thinking, they stole my Lord, right? So she sees the empty tomb and runs to tell the disciples, right? So she runs to Simon Peter. And if we could get the other picture of Simon Peter. Okay, so here's Mary telling Simon Peter and John, right, what's happened. Okay, so then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, we know that the other disciple whom Jesus loved was none other than the writer of this gospel, right? John, right? And we all love to think that we are the disciple that Jesus loved, right? Amen. He loves each and every one of you just like he loved John. So pluck your name in there, Ellie, the disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, you can put in there. Liam, the disciple that Jesus loved. Lucas, the disciple. Lucas, how are you doing, Lucas? Yeah? The disciple that Jesus loved. Amen. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So here's Mary saying that they've taken away the Lord. You know, somebody stole Jesus. Come on, you guys, right? And as they hear this, then Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So we can get the next picture here. So here's Peter, right, taking off to the tomb, and John a little bit behind him, but later on we'll know that John is faster because he's younger, and he makes sure that he tells us in this story that he's faster, right? I don't know about any of you, but if you're a runner, you know if you're fast, and you just want to, you know, let everybody know that I'm faster than Peter. So the disciple. I'm younger, I'm faster, but yeah, right? And so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, which we know is John, and came to the tomb first. So the next picture, we have John. He gets there first, you guys. He's faster, he's younger, but then he stops. He doesn't go in. Now, if you could just picture this, I'm like, you want to go in there and check it all. You know, I know I do. I'm like, like Peter. But John doesn't. He checks out the scenery, like what's going on, you know, make sure I get all down. And he stays at the entrance of the tomb, right? And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. 6. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together neatly in place by itself. So here is Peter, you know, the slower one from the race, right? He gets there and he passes John, right? And he's like, I want to see this. And he comes right inside the tomb and he realizes that the linen cloths are neatly there, and then the head handkerchief is neatly folded, right? So let's see where I'm at. So let's put the picture out here. She's got me covered. Thank you, sister. And so here it is, the handkerchief that was on Jesus' head, neatly folded. Now let's take a look at this scene. Like, let's go look at what the priest chief said. They know they have stolen the body of Jesus. Like, if we would create this story about Jesus being stolen, do you think that the robbers are going to say, hey, wait a minute, no, don't leave the scene yet. Let me fold the linens, right? Make sure that the place is nice and neat. No, robbers aren't going to do that, right? And then furthermore, his body, you know, when they bury him, is wrapped neatly. So the it says that the folds were still intact, as if he just was gone, right? So the robber, I mean, think about it. The robbers are not going to take time to unwrap Jesus. You know, I mean, think about it. He'd been laying there for days, right? Think about the stench, right? Why take the linens off of Jesus and then carry him out, touching the flesh? I mean, I just don't picture robbers doing that, do you? I mean, like, take the body, let's go, right? But the folds are neatly, the linens are neatly laying there with the head handkerchief, neatly laying there. So thank you, Jesus. So let's take a look at how they prepared Jesus' body a little bit. The next picture here kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of how, even for the kids up here, how Jesus was wrapped. So as you can see in this picture, it was like a mummified wrapping, you know. So they would use one linen to wrap him up from the bottom up, you know, and then up to the neck. And then they would do one wrapping, had, you know, spices and oil. You know, they said they had 100 pounds of spices that Joseph and Nicodemus, you know, prepared the body for burial, the body of Jesus, and they had anointed him with all these spices, you know. And I mean, 100 pounds of spices, that's a whole lot of spices, you know. That's how they buried a king. So they did that for Jesus, you know, he was their king. So they would wrap the linen, put spices and oil and so forth, and then they would use a second set of linen wrapping on the head of Jesus, right? So the spices they used back then, we know it was frankincense and myrrh, right? And you know, and anointing oils of that time. So let's keep going here, right? Let's see where we're at. Okay, so then the other disciple who came to the first tomb went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now this is kind of like, you know, Jesus is not there. Wouldn't you want to know where to go, where he's at? Do you think that the disciples are also thinking that the body was stolen? I mean, what did they believe? Because they didn't know the scriptures yet, right? But let's look at Mary. It says 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Now the translation, other translation is wailing. You all know that Jewish women can wail, right? It was loud. She is weeping for her Lord, right? And so Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. So we can, next picture, Sister Rivka. And she saw, verse 12, two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So here we have two angels. I wonder if Mary does even know that they're angels, right? Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So here's two angels and Mary weeping. I mean, I wonder if she could even see, because I know when I'm weeping, I can't even see what's going on in the room. So here's two angels before Mary. Does she even know that they're angels, right? And she's explaining to them, "They have taken away my Lord." See how personal she makes that? My Lord. Is he your Lord? Like Mary, is he your Lord this morning? Right? Now when he had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Let's go to the next picture here. So here is Mary at the tomb, wailing, weeping, and Jesus comes into her midst. But yet, she does not know that it's Jesus. She's weeping. She's crying. I don't know where they laid him. Where are you? You know, where's my Lord? And Jesus comes into her midst. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Then Mary, she's supposing him to be the gardener, because that's who she thought this man was, the gardener, right? She didn't know that was her Lord, right? She thought it was the gardener. And said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now, I don't know how big Mary was, but can you imagine her determination to the gardener? "Please tell me, where have you laid my Lord? I'll go get him." I don't know, you know, like I said, how big Mary was, but have you tried to pick somebody up when they're asleep? Or where they're laying in the spirit, Sister Rivka? Remember that scene here? She experienced the glory of God one day, and she was on the ground, and we couldn't lift her, you guys. It was like heavy, and she's a tiny girl. And several of us tried to lift her up. I know Pastor Kara tried to lift her up. Tanya tried to lift her up. Because she was laying in the, you know, this Holy Spirit and the glory of God. So can you imagine Mary going to get Jesus? Now, up to this point, Mary still thinks that somebody took her Lord, right? She's not thinking, "Oh, Jesus resurrected, you know, He's alive. She's still thinking somebody stole his body. Tell me where you laid him, because I will go get him, right? My Lord, I will go get him. Think of her heart, of Mary's heart. That's my Lord, right? Jesus, deliver me from 7 demons. I've been set free. I walk in freedom because of my Lord Jesus. And she's looking for him. Are you looking for him this morning? Is he the Lord of your life? Not just your Savior, but is he your Lord? Is he? Take a look at the desperation of Mary. Where is my Lord? Somebody took him. And I'm going to go get him. No matter what it takes, because you know, when you want to do something, you're great and mighty, and I'm going to go get my Lord, right? So where are you this morning? Is he your Lord? Are you willing to drop everything and go get him? Take a look at your life. Is he first in your life this morning? Do you put him above everything else? Above your husband, above your wife? Above your kids, above your work. Where is Jesus for you this morning? Is he your Lord, like he is for Mary here? So she's supposing him to be the gardener, right? Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Right? Little Mary wants to go get Jesus. Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." She realizes it's Jesus here. She says, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Can you imagine when she realizes it is Jesus? She just threw herself at him, I think. That's what I would do. Like, cling to him, because you ain't going nowhere, Jesus. You left once and I'm not losing you again. Right? So she tries to, like, hold on to Jesus. Think of somebody you haven't seen for a while, and then they come from Georgia and to see you. Ah, Sister Cheryl, you get excited, right? Amen. You get excited, you're like, woohoo, right? Think about Jesus coming to your house, right? So she was excited and didn't want to let go of Jesus. So Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Then Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Right? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So here's the disciples. They're not looking for Jesus like Mary was. They're, you know, tucked away in this room with the doors locked because, you know, we know what happened to Jesus. Well, let's lock the doors because we don't want to go through the same thing Jesus went, right? This is what the disciples, they are not expecting Jesus to come in their midst. They are not expecting a resurrected Savior. So then, Jesus came and stood in the midst. Now, we know he didn't knock on the door because he doesn't need to knock on the door, right? He just appeared in the midst like he would appear right here, right? And said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He's telling that to us this morning. Peace be with you, Carissa. Peace be with you, Beth. Peace be with you, Pastor Karen. Peace be with you, Judy. Peace be with you, Sarah. Peace be with you, Bobby. He's here telling us, peace be with you, as he did back then. And when he said this, he showed them his hands. Thank you, Sister Rivka. And he's saying, he's affirming them. It is me. I am here. Look at my hands, right? Look at my side. It is me, Jesus, in your midst, alive and well, right? He showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this glorious resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for your word through the Apostle John to take us in this beautiful, glorious story of how Jesus was raised from the dead. And he's alive today. In each and every one of us, his children. Now, some of you in here perhaps, and maybe YouTube or the live stream, Facebook, may be saying, Ellie, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. He's not my Savior, let alone my Lord. What a great opportunity we have this morning, this resurrection morning, to receive Jesus as your Savior this morning on Resurrection Sunday. What a best opportunity. You have seen the story. He is alive. He is risen. He died for you and I at the cross so we could have eternal life. Amen. Amen. So if you're listening to this message or you are here in this sanctuary and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to say yes. To say yes to Jesus this morning and let him be your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to pray with you. You don't need to show of hands or anything like that. God knows your heart and he knows who you are. Amen. He knows who you are on Facebook or YouTube. Or if you're listening to the podcast and you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, right? So right there where you're at, I'm just going to pray this prayer, and you just repeat after me, because, you know, we talked about the scriptures where it says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? And believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's make that confession this morning. As you're watching through the media or if you're here in this sanctuary and you want to take that step of faith and say, yes, Ellie, I am all in with Jesus. So let us pray. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I thank you, Father, for forgiving all of my sins. For praying, for paying that price at the cross. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. That you will raise from the dead. And you're alive and well. This day, Resurrection Sunday, I ask you to come into my life. And be my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said this prayer, I'm excited for you. Welcome to the family of the Lord. Welcome, welcome. It is the best decision you will ever, ever make. It is the best decision that I ever, ever made 20-some years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us.
Yes.
To give us eternal life.
Yes.
And we can celebrate this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
With our church family, with our families. You know, some of our families aren't here. Go back home and tell them the story of Jesus. Put on the YouTube channel, you know, our replay. You know, sit the kids down and show them the story of Jesus and how he resurrected and how he's alive and well in each and every one of us. You know, this morning I woke up. The Lord woke me up this morning. And I always look at the time. You wake up, you want to see what time it is, right?
Right.
I even had to take a picture because it was so awesome. I woke up and the time was 4:44. Okay? On this Resurrection Sunday morning, which is April 4, right? 4:44 on April 4. And I just smiled. I was like, oh, Lord, this is so good, right? And I went back to bed and I'm praying in the spirit because I know when he wakes me up like that, I know I got to be praying because there's something going on, right? So I'm praying in bed and I was like, Lord, because I'm like eager to get to my Bible to start looking, you know, what 4:44 is and look through all. What I do is I start from Genesis and I go all the way through the Gospels to figure out, you know, what verse, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? And I said, oh, I so want to get up, but I know I need to get a little rest. And he gently, I was like, well, ask him, right? Lord, what does this mean? And he said, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes we read scripture, but we don't digest it. Greater is he that is in you, Jessica, than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you, Lucas, than he that is in the world. Jesus is living inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Dunamis power, Lucas, that you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
That you can lay hands and cast out demons.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That you can go and tell your friends at school that Jesus is alive. Amen. Greater is he that is in you, Julie, than he that is in the world. Dunamis power, Sister Julie. It's in you. Let us walk in the authority that Jesus died for. Some of us aren't walking in that, and I challenge you this morning to get this verse deep in your hearts. Great is he that is in you, Santos, that he that is in the world. Amen. Thank you, Father, that you live in each and inside of us. And we can go out this door and do what Mary did, right? Go tell them that Jesus is alive. Go tell them the great things that he has done for you. For your life, you're a great testimony. Because I know that I can go around this room and get a story from each and every one of you. Great stories of what Jesus did. You know, it's great to give scripture with it, but when you come to somebody and say, you know, Jesus delivered me. I was once that person that did this and this and this and that. And the person begins to cry and right in front of you because the Holy Spirit is tugging at their heart. If Jesus did it for Ellie, he can do it for each and every one of you.
Amen.
For each and every one of you. So be a Mary Magdalene and tell the whole world that he is risen, that he is alive. Amen. That he is alive. And if you're a woman, I'm just going to say this. If you're a woman, don't let nobody tell you that you can't preach the word of God.
Amen.
Because we had just read the scriptures. And Jesus commissioned Mary to go and tell. So don't let nobody, Sister Sarah, tell you can't be a woman and preach his word. Because Mary Magdalene was the first one to preach the word of God. Take them to the book, to the Gospel of John, and show them that Mary was the first one. Amen. So thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and well, and you are in our midst. I'm going to just quickly pray for the people watching Facebook Live and YouTube and the podcast. So, Father, we just thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the resurrection power is in each and every one of them, Father God. I don't know where they are in your walk, my Father. May they thirst like Mary. May their hearts be stirred to follow you, Father, to make you first in their life. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." So we are to seek God first. So, Father, I pray for everyone watching on the live stream. Father, whatever their need is, Lord, may you touch them right there where they're at. If it's healing, Father, may your healing balm come over them right now. And I pray healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Father, for they are the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. And if they need provision, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You provide their every need, Father, when they put you first. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are watching, if they have family members that need to receive salvation. Give them boldness, Father, to speak your word. Father, I pray that you will remove the veils of the eyes so they can see your word, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are giving them boldness to speak to their family members about our Lord and Savior, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your protection over them, for your provision, for your direction. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your blood. For your blood, the blood covers all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are covering everyone on live stream and in this sanctuary with your blood, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Resurrection Sunday. God bless you all. And as you go this day, remember, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much, just like he loved John in the story. So have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday with your families. Spread the love of Jesus wherever you go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.